بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. Last week we did the fourth principle. And what was the fourth principle about? بيان العلم والعلماء والفقه والفقهاء. And in this principle, the Shaykh, Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah, he mentions who the awliya are and who those people resemble the awliya, but they're not from the awliya. Nu'man. Ameen. So this principle, the fifth principle, Al-Asul Khamis, in this book, Al-Usulu Sitta, the six principles by Imam Al-Mujaddid, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah, it's a very important principle. And this principle is regarding the awliya. Who are the awliya? Who is a wali of Allah? And also, who are those people who might resemble the awliya, in their appearance, but they are not from them. And this principle, the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, he mentioned this principle as an advice to the people. Because in his time, just like in our time, many people are claiming to be awliya Allah, or being a wali of Allah, and they are not from them. And the common person is in need of knowing who is the wali of Allah or who are the awliya of Allah. And knowing this principle or knowing who the awliya of Allah is important for two reasons. Firstly, it's important in our religion. So the importance of knowing the awliya Allah or knowing who a wali of Allah is important in the deen. Meaning it's a religious importance. And this is because no doubt, the awliya of Allah, then Allah loves His awliya. No doubt Allah loves a wali, or loves the awliya. And it's obligatory upon every single Muslim, or every single believer, not to only love Allah and love His Messenger, but also to love everything and everybody whom Allah loves. So the obligation upon the Muslim or the believer is not only to love Allah and His Messenger, but also to love everything and every person whom Allah loves. And the ulama have mentioned that there are four matters that we must love, and all of this comes under the love of Allah Jalla fil Ula. So firstly, a person has to love the actions which Allah loves. A person has to love the actions which Allah loves. So Allah said in the Quran, as I mentioned the khutbah today, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. Allah loves those people who do ihsan. So therefore we have to love al-ihsan, goodness. Allah loves the prayer. And therefore the obligation upon the Muslim is to love the prayer. Allah loves fasting. And therefore the obligation upon a person is to love as-sawm, love fasting. The very action of prayer, or fasting, or showing ihsan, or taqwa, all of which Allah loves, the obligation upon the Muslim is to love these actions. And also, a person has to love the times which Allah loves. I.e. there are certain days and certain times and certain periods that Allah has made more virtuous and preferred and is more beloved to Him than other times. So for example, the day of Jum'ah is more virtuous with Allah than the other 6 days. And more beloved to Allah than the other days. And therefore a Muslim has to learn love this time, this period of time, i.e. Friday. Also the days of Ramadan, or the month of Ramadan, is more beloved to Allah than the other months. And the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, Al-Ashr min Dhul-Hijjah, is more beloved to Allah than the other days. So just as Allah loves these days or these periods of time, then also the obligation upon the Muslim believer is to love these times or these periods in themselves. And also the third matter which a Muslim must love, as well as Allah and His Messenger, is loving the places which Allah loves. So for example, Allah Jalla fil Ula, He loves Mecca, He loves Al-Madinah, He loves Al-Quds, He loves the Masajid, the houses of Allah. Now therefore the obligation upon the Muslim is therefore to show love towards Mecca, Medina, Al-Quds, and the Masajid, and the other places that Allah loves. And then the fourth and the final matter, which is obligatory upon a Muslim to love, we've said, love the actions that Allah loves, love the places that Allah loves, love the times that Allah loves, and then love the people whom Allah loves. Love the people whom Allah loves. So Allah Jalla fil Ula, He loves the Mujahideen. So the obligation upon every single Muslim believer is to love the Mujahideen. Allah loves the ulama, the scholars, the people of knowledge. Now therefore the obligation upon every single Muslim is to love the ulama. And also Allah mentioned, and we know that Allah loves, for example, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We know that Allah loves Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhum, and He loves the 10 people who are granted the glad tiding of paradise. So we have to specifically love them individuals because of Allah loving them. And also we love certain people that Allah loves because of their characteristics. So as I mentioned, Wallahu yuhibbu sabirin. Allah loves those people who are as-sabirin, patient. So we have to love as-sabirin. So if you see a believer, a Muslim, and he's from the sabirin, you see that he has this quality of as-sabr, then we're obligated to love that person. And this comes under the love of Allah. وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. So this is the obligation upon a Muslim to love. As well as loving Allah, we have to love four other things. Love the places that Allah loves, love the times that Allah loves, love the action that Allah loves, and then love the people that or whom Allah loves. وَأَقْسِطُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُقْسِطِينَ. Be just. Allah loves those people who are just. So therefore if we find a person who is just in his dealings, then it's an Islamic obligation upon us to love this type of person because Allah loves him. And from amongst the category of people who we have to love is the awliya of Allah. So that's the religious importance for knowing this principle, who the awliya of Allah are. However, knowing who the awliya of Allah and knowing who aren't the awliya of Allah is also important in the dunya. So the first was a religious importance, there's also a worldly importance. And that is that in this time today, many people, they claim to be from the awliya of Allah only to take the wealth of the people or to gain some type of authority over the people. And therefore, in order to protect your wealth and protect the society, even in a worldly sense, we have to know who the awliya of Allah are and who is not a wali and who claims to be a wali but he's not a wali. So this is the importance in this world, in a worldly sense. And for this reason, because of the religious importance and the worldly importance, the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, mentioned this principle as an advice to the people so that the people are careful and they know who the awliya of Allah are and who the awliya of Allah and who is not a wali of Allah. And the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, he began by saying, Bayanullahi subhanah, that the fifth principle is the explanation of Allah, may He be glorified, the awliya illah, of His awliya, meaning who is a wali of Allah. وَالتَّفْرِيقُهُ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ الْمُتَشَبِّهِينَ مِنْ أَعْدَاءِ اللَّهِ الْمُنَافِقِينَ وَالْفُجَّارِ. And differentiating between the awliya of Allah and between the enemies of Allah, the munafiqun, the hypocrites, the fujjar, the disobedient people, who might resemble the awliya, but they are not from His awliya. And the words that the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, used, he mentioned that they are either enemies, they are the enemies of Allah, and they are not His awliya, and or they are the munafiqun, the hypocrites, or they are the fujjar, they are the disobedient people. So when he said, a'da'illah, the enemies of Allah, then this shows that the opposite of awliya of Allah are a'da'illah. So there are two groups of people, awliya Allah and a'da'illah. The awliya of Allah and the enemies of Allah. And these are both opposites with regards to the wilaya of Allah. I.e. people are either awliya and people are either a'da, enemies of Allah. And these enemies of Allah, he mentioned two types. He mentioned the munafiqun and the fujjar, the hypocrites and the disobedient people. And the reason why he didn't mention, for example, the kuffar, the disbelievers, the people of shirk, because he's talking about those people who resemble the awliya, meaning in the apparent, but they are not from the awliya. And the kuffar, all of us clearly know that these people aren't from the awliya, and neither do they claim to be from the awliya. They say that they are disbelievers, so they don't resemble the awliya. As for the munafiqoon, then the meaning of a munafiq, the Islamic definition of a munafiq is من يظهر الإسلام ويبطن الكفر, is a person who shows Islam on the outside, but inside he hides al-kufr, he hides disbelief. So the person who on the outside he looks like a Muslim, he claims to be a Muslim, he professes to be a Muslim, but on the inside he hides al-kufr, and he detests al-Islam, and he believes in disbelief. But because we can only judge by that which is apparent, maybe he resembles the awliya, maybe he has a beard, maybe you see him in the masjid, but he's not from the awliya. And then the second group of people are the fujjar, the disobedient people. And often we see, and we'll come to this in a short while, that those people who claim to be awliya, and yet they are not awliya of Allah, often you see with them acts of disobedience. And they are the fujjar. And if you remember to last week's lesson, when we discussed who the ulama are, and what are the characteristics of the ulama, then Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimullah, he referred to certain ayat in the Qur'an, 7 or 8 ayat in the Qur'an, and from every single ayah, he took out qualities or characteristics of the ulama. And we mentioned, I think maybe 16, 17 or 20 characteristics of the true ulama. In the same manner, in this principle, he mentions 3 ayat. And from these ayat, he will deduce the characteristics of the awliya. So we're going to learn who are the awliya, and we're going to know this by looking into the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in this is a lesson for the reader, that then these types of topics, like who are the awliya, for example, and these are very emotive topics, are people emotional about these things, who are the awliya? The author wants to show us that if you want to define who the awliya are, then look into the Qur'an and look into the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you will find certain signs or characteristics which Allah mentions regarding the awliya. The first ayah that the author mentioned is a saying of Allah in Surah Al-Imran, verse number 31. Surah Al-Imran, verse number 31. And this is a saying of Allah, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the people, that if you claim to love me, or if you love me, if you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you. So therefore, the first characteristic of the awliya, if you want to know who a wali is, then the first thing that we can deduce from this ayah is al-ittiba', meaning, does he follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Does he follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Because Allah said, say to the people who claim to love Allah, and those people who claim to love Allah, they are the awliya. That if you truly love Allah, follow me, meaning follow my guidance, follow the sunnah and the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you do so, then Allah will love you. Then you will be from the awliya of Allah. So therefore, the first characteristic, or the first sign of knowing, or the first indicator of knowing who a wali is that you measure his actions according to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you see his actions in conformity to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you know that this person is a wali, bi-idhnillah. If however you see from this person that he claims to be a wali, or another person claims this person to be a wali of Allah, yet his actions aren't according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, or he does actions, innovations, which aren't from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then you know that this person can never be a wali of Allah, and rather he is from the a'da'illah, from the enemies of Allah, who claims to be a wali, and yet he is not a wali. And this ayah in Surah Ali Imran, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهِ فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ, this was revealed regarding the Jews, the Yahud, that they used to say that we are the beloved chosen people of Allah. We are the beloved people of Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he ordered the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say to them, that you people, you claim to be the awliya of Allah, you claim to be the beloved and the chosen ones of Allah, and if you claim to be so, then follow me. I follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And therefore, every avenue towards the love of Allah and every avenue towards the wilaya of Allah is through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this ayah, some of our scholars, they have called this ayah, ayatul imtihan. Ayatul imtihan. The sign or the ayah of an exam or a test. Because by this ayah, you can examine or you can test somebody whether he truly loves Allah or he just claims to love Allah. You can test somebody whether he's a wali of Allah or he's merely somebody who claims to be a wali of Allah. So if you find him passing this test, i.e. having ittiba' of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he passes this test, then you know that he is bi-idhnillah a wali of Allah. The second ayah which the author, may Allah have mercy upon him, mentioned is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 54. Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse number 54. Whereby Allah said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, من يرتد منكم عن دينه, whosoever leaves the religion from amongst you, فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهِ, then Allah will bring another group of people, يُحِبُّهُمْ, He loves them, وَيُحِبُّونَ, and they love Allah, أَذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُسْلِمِينَ, أَذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are humble in front of the believers, أَعِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, and they are honorable in front of the disbelievers, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, they fight and they make jihad in the way of Allah. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, and they do not, or they are not scared, or they do not fear the blame of the people in the way of Allah. So in this ayah, Allah Jalla fil Ula, He mentioned a number of characteristics, four or five characteristics regarding those people who He loves. And they are His awliya. So therefore the first characteristic or sign of the awliya in this ayah is, أَذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, that they are humble towards the believers. So if you find a person claiming to be a wali of Allah, and yet you see from him arrogance towards the believers, then know that this person, he's not a wali of Allah. He's not a wali of Allah. If you see from a person that he's always backbiting the believers, for example, or he's always waging a war against the believers, and yet he leaves alone the disbelievers, and he has nothing to say against the disbelievers, all of his focus and his concentration is regarding his own believing brothers, then know that this person is not a wali of Allah, even if he claims to be a wali of Allah. Because Allah said that Allah will bring about a people, He will love them and they will love Him, أَذِلَّةً عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, they will be humble in front of the believers. So this is the first characteristic from this hadith of the awliya Allah. The second characteristic from this ayah is أَعِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, that they are honorable in front of the disbelievers. Meaning that the true awliya of Allah, they don't need to, or they don't see the need, or they don't please the kuffar and forsake their Islam. Rather they practice Islam in open and in public, even if it's to the displeasure of the disbelievers. أَعِزَّةً عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ, they are honorable and proud in front of the disbelievers. Are you proud and honorable over their Islam? So therefore this is the second sign or characteristic of a wali of Allah, that they are strong and practicing and honorable and proud in front of the disbelievers. And also in this is contained the obligation of الْبَرَاءَةَ مِنَ الْكُفْرِ وَأَهْلِ الْكُفْرِ, that person disassociates himself from disbelief and the people of disbelief. And then the third characteristic or sign or way of knowing who is a wali is, he's saying, يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ, that they fight jihad in the way of Allah, in the path of Allah. And therefore, if you want to know who a wali is, from the characteristics of the awliya is that they fight jihad in the way of Allah. Meaning that they fight jihad and they strive and they struggle and they fight jihad in order to establish the word of Allah, in order for the word of Allah and the tawheed of Allah and the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be victorious and to be established. So if you find a group of people claiming to be the awliya of Allah and yet they disbelieve in jihad, they know that these people are not from the awliya of Allah. And then the fourth characteristic or sign or indicator of a wali or an awliya of Allah is, he's saying, لَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ, that they do not fear the blame of the people for the sake of Allah. They do not fear the blame of the people. Meaning that these people, the awliya of Allah, their only focus is the hereafter. So by practicing Islam, if this means that something is lost from this world, if this means that one of their worldly benefits is lost, then they do not care. And if this means that the people are going to speak bad about them, or the people are going to shun them, whether it's the disbelievers or even people who claim to be Muslims, then they are not scared. لَا يَخَافُونَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They are not scared, or they do not fear the blame of the people in the way of Allah. And then, in the third ayah, that the author, Al-Imam Al-Mujaddid, Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, mentioned, he mentioned a third ayah from which we can see characteristics of the awliya. And this is the saying of Allah, أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Indeed, the awliya of Allah, there is no fear upon them, and neither are they worried. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those people who have iman and they have yattaqun, they have attaqwa. So therefore, the next indicator, sign of a person being a wali of Allah is number one, al-iman. He has al-iman. And then the second is attaqwa. He has attaqwa. And in this ayah, Allah mentioned al-iman and attaqwa in one ayah together. So therefore, when some of the ulama have mentioned that when al-iman and attaqwa, when they're both mentioned the same ayah, then the meaning of al-Iman is a person's belief in his heart. The meaning of al-Iman, when they are mentioned together, is a person's belief and aqidah in his heart. And the meaning of taqwa is his righteous actions upon his limbs and the statements that he makes upon his tongue. So the awliya of Allah, they are the people who have the correct aqidah, the people of at-tawheed in their hearts, and also the people who fulfill the commandments of Allah. And also, some of the ulama have mentioned that when al-Iman and al-Taqwa comes together in one ayah, in one place, then the meaning of Iman is having the correct belief in Allah, having the correct belief in Allah. And the meaning of Taqwa is that a person knows and he warns from the incorrect belief, the incorrect aqidah, the aqidah which is batila, which is the false aqidah. So a person, for example, he is upon a tawheed, and at the same time he knows a shirk, and he hates a shirk, and he warns against a shirk. So these are the ways of knowing the awliya of Allah. And there's one more ayah that can be mentioned, which the author, rahimullah, he did not mention. And this is the saying of Allah, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Do not praise yourself, because Allah, He is more knowledgeable than the one who has attaqwa. So from this ayah we can understand that one of the signs of a wali is that he doesn't call himself a wali. He doesn't call himself a wali. He doesn't claim to be a wali. Because Allah said, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ, that do not praise yourselves. Do not purify yourselves. Because وَهُوَ أَعْلَمُ, because he, i.e. Allah, is more knowledgeable لِمَنِ اتَّقَى, of the one who has التَّقْوَى. And the author, he mentioned some people who claim to be from the awliya and yet they are not from the awliya, or they resemble the awliya and they are not from the awliya. How do you know those people? That in those people you don't see these characteristics and these signs. So from those people today, and all of you know of these type of people on the internet, and they claim to be from the awliya of Allah, and yet at the same time they say that the obligations are not obligatory upon us. They say that we don't have to pray. or that we saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a dream and he said to us that the obligations have been lifted from you, or the pen has been lifted from you. And you know that these people are therefore not from the awliya, because Allah mentioned in these ayat that they have iman, they have at-taqwa, they fulfill the commandments and all of these other characteristics that he mentioned. And therefore, if a person comes and he claims that he is a wali of Allah, but he doesn't pray, for example, you don't see him in the masjid, you see him talking against, for example, a jihad, or saying that it's not an obligation, or saying that Allah has lifted the pen from me, then this person is not from the awliya, even though he claims from them. Rather, he is from the a'da'illah, from the enemies of Allah. And also, in some of the books of these type of people, they say, for example, that it's not obligatory upon a wali to go and perform tawaf. Rather, the Kaaba comes to the wali and the Kaaba performs tawaf around the wali. And this is something which is in their books. And therefore, you know that this type of person is not from the awliya of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he's from the Imam al-awliya, the Imam of all of the awliya, how many times did he perform tawaf? He performed Umrah 4 times. And he performed Hajj once. And on top of this, he made other tawaf. So you see these people not following the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yet they claim to be the awliya of Allah. And they are not from the awliya of Allah, rather they are from a'da'illah, from the enemies of Allah. Our Shaykh Abdul Razak ibn Abdul Muhsin al-Abbad, when we studied this book with him, I remember in this principle he mentioned that a long time ago he read a book of fiqh from these people, from some of the Sufiyah who claimed to be awliya Allah. And he said that on this issue of making tawaf and going to Kaaba, or going, not going to the Kaaba, that they based an issue of fiqh upon this issue. So even fiqh, they entered into this issue. And Shaykh Abdul Razak al-Abbad, hafizullah, he mentioned that in this book it said, Mas'ala, the issue of fiqh is, if the Kaaba goes and it visits one of the awliya, where do you face when you pray? Should you face the Mecca, or should you face somewhere else because the Kaaba isn't there anymore? And this is mentioned in the books of fiqh. So if the Kaaba goes and it visits one of the awliya, then which direction do the people face towards for the prayer? And in the book it said, اختلف العلماء على قولين, that the scholars, they differed on two different opinions. Some of them said that you face the Mecca, even though the Kaaba isn't there. You have to face the Mecca because it is the asal, because that is the default ruling. And nobody knows where the Kaaba has gone. So if the Kaaba has gone, for example, to India, then you still have to face the asal, i.e. Mecca. And then some of them said that no, a person, every single person has to try to find the wali and face the way that the Kaaba has gone. And of course, these people are the ghulat al-Sufiyya, the most extreme of the Sufiyya, not the average members of the Muslims, but the most extreme of the Sufiyya. And these matters are mentioned in their books. So these are the signs of the awliya from the ayat in the Qur'an, or from the evidences in the Qur'an. And then after this, the author mentioned, ثُمَّ صَارَ الْأَمْرُ عِنْدَ أَكْثَرِ مَنْ يَدَّعِ الْعِلْمِ, that Shaitan came and he deceived the people such that most of the people who claim to have knowledge, and they claim that they are the guided ones amongst the creation, and they are the protectors of the Sharia, they said that the wali, he is somebody who leaves alone obedience to the messenger. He leaves alone obedience to the messenger. Meaning, a wali cannot be a wali until Allah lifts the obligations from him. Or a wali cannot be a wali until we see him leaving the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whomsoever follows the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and is strict upon the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then this person is not a wali. And they said, وَلَا بُدَّ مِن تَرْكِ الْجِهَادِ, that you have to leave off jihad. And that jihad is not an obligation. And therefore, and they said that the person who makes jihad or believes that jihad is an obligation, فَلَيْسَ مِنْهُمْ, then this person is not a wali. وَلَا بُدَّ مِن تَرْكِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالتَّقْوَى, and that person has to leave off al-Iman. And a person has to leave off al-Taqwa. Meaning, they claim that the wali doesn't have to pray. The wali doesn't have to come to the masjid. The wali doesn't have to make tawaf of the Kaaba. Rather, the Kaaba comes to him. Or he can pray at home. Or he doesn't even have to pray. Or he doesn't have to give zakah, for example. And they say that these people are the awliya. And as for the people of iman and of at-taqwa, then these are not the awliya of Allah. And Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he wrote a book, a very good book called Al-Furqan, the distinguished difference between awliya ar-Rahman, the awliya of ar-Rahman, wa awliya ash-shaytan, and the awliya of ash-shaytan. And the book has been translated into English, and it's a voluminous book. And Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah, in his explanation, he quotes a long passage from Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah regarding who the awliya of Allah are and who the awliya of ash-shaytan are. However, this passage is quite long. It's 4 or 5 pages, and it's not possible for us to read all of this passage. So what I'll do is, I'm going to extract certain principles that you can write down from the words of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah. And whoever wants further information can refer to the book. So the first principle regarding the awliya of Allah is that people are of two types. The first principle is people are of two types. Awliya Allah and awliya ash-shaytan. So just as Allah has his awliya, then similarly, shaytan has his awliya. So the evidence for the awliya of Allah is the ayat that we mentioned. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahzanun. Indeed, the awliya of Allah, they have no fear of them and they do not worry. So this is the evidence for Allah having awliya. As for the awliya of ash-shaytan, then the saying of Allah in Surah An-Nahl, verse 98. In Surah An-Nahl, verse 98. When Allah said, فَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَعِذْ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. That if you recite the Qur'an, then seek refuge from ash-shaytan al-rajim. إِنَّهُ لَيْسَ لَهُ سُلْطَانِ. He has no authority over those people who have iman and those people who have tawakkul upon Allah. Rather, his authority is only over those people, الَّذِينَ يَتَوَلُّونَهُ, those people who show sport for him. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ بِهِ مُشْرِكُونَ, and those people who commit ash-shirk. So those people who go towards the way of ash-shaytan and they commit ash-shirk, they are the awliya ash-shaytan. So the first principle is that people are of two types. Awliya Allah, or awliya ar-Rahman, and awliya ash-shaytan. And then the second principle is that it is an obligation upon us to differentiate, to know and to differentiate who the awliya ar-Rahman are and who the awliya ash-shaytan are. Why? Because Allah Jalla fil Ula in the Quran, he differentiated between awliya Allah and he differentiated between awliya ash-shaytan. And he defined who the awliya of Allah are, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ, and he also defined who the awliya ash-shaytan are. So therefore, the obligation upon us is to know the awliya Allah and also to know awliya ash-shaytan and to differentiate between awliya Allah and awliya ash-shaytan. And then the third principle is that the awliya ar-Rahman, they are those people who believe in Allah, they turn to Allah, they love that which Allah loves, they hate that which Allah hates, they are pleased with everything which Allah is pleased with, they are displeased with everything which Allah is displeased with, they order according to His commandments, and they forbid according to His prohibitions, they give to whomever it is obligatory to give, and they prevent from whomever Allah has obligated to prevent from them. So these are the awliya of Allah. That was the third principle. The fourth principle is that the awliya of Allah, within themselves, they are of different levels and different categories. So the wilayah of Allah, or a person being a wali of Allah, is not one special rank or one special level that a person reaches. Rather, the awliya within themselves, they are of different ranks and different levels. And every single Muslim, by being a Muslim, he's a wali of Allah. So every single one of us here, by the permission of Allah, we are from the awliya of Allah. However, some of the awliya of Allah are better than the other awliya of Allah. And how do we differentiate between the awliya of Allah? According to the iman and the taqwa. Because Allah mentioned, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَكَانُوا يَتَّقُونَ. Those people have iman and they have a taqwa. So every time a person's iman and taqwa of Allah is stronger, then he is stronger in his wilaya of Allah. He's a stronger awliya, a wali of Allah. And every time a person's iman and taqwa is weaker and deficient, then he is of a less level of being a wali of Allah. And for this reason, Allah Jalla fil Ula, he created heaven, he created al-Jannah, paradise, in different levels. So the stronger a person is of being a wali to Allah, the higher his rank is in al-Jannah. And also he created Jahannam in darakat, in levels going down. And therefore a stronger person is in his disobedience of Allah, and the closer person is to shaitan and the awliya of shaitan, then the lower his level is in Jahannam. And then the next principle is that it's not a condition for a person to be a wali that he has to be ma'soom, meaning he never makes a mistake, or he's absolutely perfect. So it's not a condition for a person to be a wali of Allah that he can never make a mistake, he can never do anything wrong, that he has to have knowledge of everything, he can never be ignorant of something, or he can never be wrong in one of his opinions. Rather, it's permissible that sometimes a wali, he might make a mistake, or he might say something which is wrong, or he might even commit a sin because of his deficiency in his iman and his at-taqwa. Or maybe he will not have some knowledge with him, or make a mistake in some of his knowledge. And we see from the greatest of the awliya, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Umar, Uthman, Ali radiallahu anhu, they were writing some things and sometimes they made a mistake, or some of the sharia was they didn't know of. So for example, as an example of this, when a person came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam of a certain dream, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, he wanted to interpret this dream, and he interpreted this dream, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him that you were right in some of it and you were wrong in some of it, meaning some of the dream that you've interpreted, you have done it right, correct. And in some of it, you have made a mistake and you have done it wrong. So this shows that the awliya of Allah, in sometimes they can err, and some of the sharia can be hidden from them, and they don't have knowledge of everything, and also they are right in certain things. And then the next principle, which number principle are we on? So the sixth principle is that if it's okay for a wali to know some things and not know some things, and to be right in some things and to be wrong in some things, then it's not permissible for a person to follow everything a wali says. So we don't say to the people that everything that this wali says, that you have to follow it. Rather, if we believe that he's right in some things and he's wrong in some things, then even if he's a wali, we weigh up his actions and his statements according to the Quran and according to the Sunnah. So whatever actions or whatever statements that he makes which are in conformity to the Sunnah, we accept them, we follow them. And even if he's a wali, and yet he makes a mistake, or he doesn't know something, then we don't follow this action, we don't follow this statement. So the people with regard to following the awliya, they're three types. The people with regard to following awliya, they are of three types. Two extremes and the group in the middle. Two extremes and the group in the middle. So one extreme is that they think that the wali of Allah, he's somebody who has absolute perfection, and he can never make a mistake. And therefore it's obligatory upon us as Muslims to follow every single statement and every single action of a wali. This is the first extreme. And the second extreme are those people that if they see the wali of Allah making a mistake, they say this person is not wali anymore because he made a mistake. And they take him out of the wilayah of Allah. They believe that a wali can never make a mistake. So if a wali makes a mistake, they take him out of the wilayah. And the third group are those people who are in the middle, and they are Ahlul Sunnati wal Jama'ah, and they believe that a wali, he can be correct in some of the things that he says, and maybe he can be mistaken in some of the things. And every single thing or statement that he makes, then we weigh that up according to the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And we follow him in that which he knows, and we don't follow him in that which he doesn't know, he makes a mistake. And this doesn't mean that that wali who made that mistake, or he didn't know that he has a sin for this. Rather, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِذَا حَكَمَ الْمُجْتَهِدِ فَأَصَابَ فَلَهُ أَجْرًا. That if a person strives to come to a ruling and he is correct, for him are two rewards. وَإِذَا أَخْطَى فَلَهُ صَوَابٌ. And if he makes a mistake, then for him is one ajr, for one reward. So even a wali, if he's a wali and he's a scholar and he strives to come to an understanding and he makes a mistake, he still has one reward. And then the last principle is that it's not a condition for a person to be a wali that he has to have miracles. It's not a condition for a person to be a wali that he has to have miracles. He has to have mu'jizat or karamat. And this also means that not every single person who has a miracle do we say that he is a wali. And this also means that it's not from the definition of a wali that he has to have a miracle. Because we do not find a single text in the Quran or in the Sunnah, from what I have mentioned, defining a wali to have karamat or mu'jizat. Rather, a wali is known through his iman and his taqwa and his ittiba' of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all of the other signs that I mentioned, his humbleness in front of the believers, his honor in front of the disbelievers, his jihad in the way of Allah, and all of the other things that I have mentioned. But at the same time, we don't deny that some awliya might be given miracles from Allah Jalla fil Ula. So this is something that sometimes exists. That Allah, in order to aid a person, he gives him some mu'jiza or some karama, some miracle he gives to this person. But the miracle in itself is not sufficient to say that this person is now a wali. And how many people from amongst the Christians and the Jews, the non-Muslims, the people of innovations, the people of shirk, and yet all of them claim that they have miracles with them. And we don't say that these are miracles. In the Arabic language, we differentiate between a mu'jiza and between khwariq al-ada. The meaning of khwariq al-ada, and we'll finish with this, khwariq al-ada means something which is out of the extraordinary, means something which is different to what is the norm. And maybe a disbeliever, maybe the Jews, the Christians, maybe a personal innovation, maybe he will have something. Something different from that which is the normal, that which is ordinary. Some things the shaitan will do, something the jinns will do for them. We call these khawariq al-ada. And as for the miracles which are for the awliya, we call them either karamat al-awliya or mu'jizat al-awliya. And we'll finish with that. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina wa sallam.